Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 in chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Verse 10 is our text this evening. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. These first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2 contain one of the most wonderful Bible descriptions of what has happened to everyone who is saved. And it uses that word saved and salvation over and over again. If you are now a Christian, you once were dead in your transgressions and sins, verse 1. You now have been made alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, verse 5. That's the description that Paul is giving. If you are not now a Christian, if you have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are now dead in your transgressions and sins. You are now following the evil desires and thoughts of a corrupt heart. You are now under the power of the prince of darkness. You are now under the wrath of God. And if ever you are to be saved, it will be by grace, the grace of God alone, that you will be saved. So I beg you to follow this evening with careful attention to what we are saying, so that you can give thanks to God if you have been saved, and so that you can cry from your heart in prayer to God if you have not been saved. And the first thing that we're going to see in verse 10 is that every Christian is God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Now, how do you explain this amazing Christian life that many of us share? And thank God many of us who are here this evening do share it. Paul says, I explain it this way: God is the workman. We Christians are the products. That's the only way to explain it. God is the workman. We are the products, or we are God's workmanship. He is the creator. You see, he goes on to say that in verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created. God is the creator. We're the creature or the thing that has been created. God is the artist. The Christian is the artwork. God is the inventor. The Christian is the invention. God is the craftsman. The Christian is His handiwork. God is the author. The Christian is the book which He has written. We are His workmanship, says the Apostle Paul. Now, he could not be more emphatic about that. Well, you notice what he says in verse 9, leading up to verse 10. Not by works. Our works contributed nothing to our salvation. It is not of works. Salvation is not of our works. We are the workmanship, not the workers. We are Christians entirely by the grace of God. Our works merited nothing. Our works deserved nothing. Our works accomplished nothing towards salvation. Nothing. Not of works. Underline it, says Paul. Not of works. We are not the workers. We are the workmanship. There's all the difference in the world. We are the product, not the workers in this matter of salvation. Not of our works. And he adds in verse 9, so that no one can boast. No Christian who has received salvation can boast of anything, because it is God who has done the work. It is all of grace. It is all God's work. It is not of our works. We have nothing to boast about. The works of man are entirely excluded in having anything to do with bringing salvation. Now that is radical thinking. That is radical thinking. Never before in the history of the world has it ever been thought of anywhere that if man is to be saved, he will do nothing to accomplish the salvation. Nothing to contribute to the salvation. Nothing to assist in the salvation. Every scheme that the human mind has ever devised has said that if man is going to be saved, he must do something. And it is only the revealed Word of God, the Scriptures, that say in salvation, God is the worker and man is the product. That is radical thinking, and it is radical thinking today. And it is radical thinking in the church. The church is still filled with people who perceive of God as a God of great power up in the heavens. A God who has a great treasure chest that He can open and give gifts to men. And among those gifts is the gift of salvation. But God is up there in the heavens and He is passive. The idea being that if man calls upon God, if man believes in God, if man repents of his sin, if man does something first, then God, in response to man, will react and give the great gift of salvation. That is the concept in most minds, including in most pulpits. That somehow it is man who must take the initiative and man who must do something. And once man has done something, then God indeed will give salvation in response to human activity. Paul says, absolutely not. That is not my concept of salvation. Not of works. No boasting from man. Man is the workmanship. God is all activity. Ah, but somebody says, what about faith? Don't you have to believe in order to be saved? And isn't faith an act of the free will of man? Ah, yes, says the Apostle Paul. Notice what he says in verse 8. It is by grace you have been saved. Through faith. Ah, there it is. Through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, and it is not of works, lest any man should boast. There can be no boasting about faith. Faith is the response of man to the activity of God. Faith is the product of the divine working within the human heart. It is God who takes the initiative. It is God's grace that is at work. And even the faith in the heart of the one who believes is the result of God's working and the product of His doing. Now I ask you, do you understand this all-important truth at the heart of the gospel? That if anyone becomes a Christian, he is the workmanship of God, and it is the work of God's grace, and it is God who takes the initiative, and it is altogether of God and not of works. And even where it is through faith, that faith is the work of God within the human heart. God is the worker. The Christian is the workmanship. Now, aren't there lingering thoughts in the minds of men about this very thing? You can hear it. You can see it persisting in the testimonies that people give. Where people say, well, I decided to become a Christian 10 years ago. I took Christ as my personal Savior, and I have never regretted it. You ever hear testimonies? I took Him as my personal Savior. I decided for Him, and I have never regretted it. Paul says, God quickened me when I was dead in trespasses and sins, and altogether incapable of doing anything acceptable in the sight of God, He quickened me with Christ. He infused life within me so that I could believe, so that I could respond with repentance. My Christianity is not something I decided on, says Paul. Not something I chose, not something I got into. My Christianity is something that God has done for me, something that God has done to me, something that God has done in me, but it is something that God has done. It is by grace that you are saved. Through faith, but that faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It is not of works. No one can boast about his faith or anything else that he has done. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is not an evolutionary product. He is not something that has resulted from self-improvement. He is a new creation. Something produced by an outside force. Something produced by an almighty force that has taken him and changed him and made him altogether something that he was not. Who is doing the work? Who is doing the work in your life? What are you as a Christian? We are God's workmanship. God is at work in the world. And we are the workmanship. We are the items on display that God is showing to the world, I am doing something. But He is the worker, and He is the one who is to receive all praise. Item number 1 in verse 10. Every Christian is God's workmanship. The second thing we're going to see in verse 10 is that our good works, the Christian's good works, are the hallmark of the divine worker. What is a hallmark? Well, it's a card that you buy downtown in the store somewhere. Hallmark. Something comes from the age of craftsmen and artists. Artists and craftsmen authenticated their work with a certain mark or a signature. Sometimes today, some of the women who do needlecraft put their initials right in the work that they do. Artists put their initials on the pictures, or some way or other they make a mark that shows this is authentic, this is mine, this is an original, it's not a copy. A trademark, a seal of approval certifying that the artwork is genuine, We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the good works of the Christian are the mark that God is at work in the Christian. Good works, righteous works, pure works, God-like thoughts, God-like words, God-like actions are God's trademark. They display His character. No one else can make that mark upon a creature, upon a human being. For God Himself is righteous, and only He can produce this mark of righteousness in those in whom He is working. Christianity is not created by good works, but it is created unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to the end that we might do good works. The good works are the result of the salvation, not the cause of the salvation. Scripture is very careful on that, isn't it? Unto good works. Now, there's some who are afraid to talk about the importance of good works in Christianity. They're afraid to talk about the Christian's good works and to say much about it because they have seen around them people who boast about their own good works. And you've met people like that. You've met people in other churches that call themselves Christian churches where people believe that God will take them to heaven one day when they die. God will take them to heaven to be with Him because they have given a lot of money to charity or they have been very good citizens in the community. They have worked hard. They've been involved in social service projects. They've never committed a crime. They've cooperated with other people. They have a very nice relationship with all of their neighbors. They try to do good to the people who are sick and all of the rest. And because of their good works, surely God will take them to heaven when they die, they think. And some people look at that attitude where people trust in their good works and they don't need to trust in Jesus Christ. Indeed, Jesus Christ didn't come to call the righteous, did He? He came to call sinners to repentance. And anyone who has good works that are acceptable in God's sight doesn't need a Savior and he doesn't need Christ. And he has no business calling himself a Christian. Christ came to call sinners to repentance. And the Christian religion is for sinners who need someone to give them salvation from their sins. But because of this error of some people mistakenly thinking that they have done enough good works to be accepted by God and taken to heaven when they die, there are some people who are afraid to talk about good works in the Christian. Let's only talk about grace. Let's only talk about the forgiveness of sins. Let's not talk about the Christian's good works. But our text says in verse 10 that God's grace produces good works in the believer and that the whole aim of God was to produce good works in the objects of His grace. And when God brings His salvation upon a man, it produces good works. It's unto good works. They contribute nothing to the salvation, but works are everything that salvation is aiming toward. The sun was created to shine. Now, the shining did not create the sun, but the sun was created to shine. Birds were created to fly. Their flying does not create the bird, but the bird was created to fly. Flowers were created to appear in beauty and to smell fragrantly. The fragrance does not create the flower, but the flower was created to have a fragrance. And Christians were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The good works do not make the Christian, but the Christian was made to do good works. The great purpose for which we are saved is to do good works. You remember back in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. That was God's design. That was what God was after in the first place. to make a holy and blameless people, a people who do good works. That was his purpose. So good works cannot be despised or neglected in Christianity, even though it has nothing to do with producing our salvation. They are the product of salvation. Because fragrance does not grow flowers, we don't do away with perfume. Because fruit does not produce the tree, we don't do away with the fruit. The tree produces the fruit. But the fruit is delicious and beautiful and desirable. That we should do good works is the great end of our salvation for which the Lord has made us. And if a man does not produce good works, he has no sign that God's saving work has been done in him. It is the hallmark. It is God's signature. It is the sign that a genuine work of salvation has been done, that he is producing good works. Every Christian is God's workmanship, and the Christian's good works are the hallmark of the divine worker. Now, thirdly, this evening, I'd like you to think about how God, in his saving grace, produces good works in us. Look at verse 10 again. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It is union with Jesus Christ that produces good works that are acceptable to God. It is futile to try to do good works that God will approve of outside of union with Jesus Christ. It is absolutely futile. It will fail every time. Only the person who is savingly united to Jesus Christ can do good works that God approves of. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Just look back at verse 5 in chapter 2. God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. You see the absolute contrast. Dead in transgressions, incapable, without life to produce good works, but made alive with Jesus Christ. Unto good works, made alive in union with Jesus Christ, sharing his resurrection power in doing good works, having his spirit of life within us to do good works. Colossians 3 and verse 4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. But just think about that phrase, Christ who is your life. Christ is the life of the believer. Christ is the power of doing good works. We are dead apart from Christ, dead in transgressions and sins. We are alive in Jesus Christ, and the life with which we do good works comes from him and union with him. Turn back to John chapter 15 for a moment. John 15. Remember how that chapter begins? Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Notice how that starts. No fruit. What happens when a person has no fruit? Cut it off. Throw it in the fire. While every branch in me that does bear fruit, okay, we went from no fruit to some fruit, he trims or prunes, he trims it clean so that it will be even more fruitful. No fruit, fruit, more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me or abide in me, says Christ, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me or abides in me, in union with me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. No fruit, some fruit, more fruit, much fruit, but no fruit unless abiding in Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus alone there comes good works, because He is our life. We are savingly united to Christ. We are given a new heart in Christ. We are filled with the Spirit by Christ. He lives in us and we live in Him in order that we may bear fruit, the fruit of good works. But then will you notice in Ephesians 2:10, God produces these good works in the believer in union with Jesus Christ. But secondly, God produces these good works in believers by preparing them in advance. Not by preparing the Christians in advance, but by preparing the good works in advance. And here, the NIV is far superior to the King James, which speaks of which God has before ordained that they should walk in. That's not what it says. It says what the NIV says, that God has prepared in advance the works that His people in union with Jesus Christ do. This phrase perhaps could be understood best of all in modern terms by the advance man. We're in the time of the campaigns by presidential candidates, and they all have advance men. When the presidential candidates are going to speak in some city, there's a man who goes before them and prepares the campaign for them. They go ahead and they build a platform, and they set up a microphone, and they gather a crowd of sympathetic hearers, and they pass out hats and balloons and banners. And they invite dignitaries to sit on the platform, and they make sure that all of the press comes and is present when the man arrives. And when the candidate comes, all he has to do is step off of the plane, and it is prepared in advance for him. All he has to do then is do it. All the preparations have been made. No way that these candidates could go from city to city and gather the crowds all on their own and prepare for the events. It's prepared in advance for them. And that's the idea that's given here. Here you are as a Christian, maybe a new Christian, maybe a very young Christian and a weak Christian. And God intends that you should walk in good works. How can you ever do good works? You're living in a world that's hostile to good works. You're living in a world that has the influence of the devil and the influence of worldliness pulling in the other direction. At your office, at your school, wherever you are, there are all these influences pushing in another direction. How can you do good works? God has prepared a Bible to guide you. God has raised up a church to teach you. God has given you in this place a fellowship of the saints to nurture you and strengthen you and prepare you so that when you go to your school tomorrow, you can do good works. So that when you go to work tomorrow, you can do good works. God has raised up Christian parents. God has raised up Christian schools to show you the way to good works. The whole system of grace, God is prepared to help you. It is all strengthening you to do good works. Furthermore, God has personally prepared each one of you for good works. You've been given a new heart with new desires. You know, at the beginning of chapter 2, it talked about once, at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. Well, God has put new thoughts in your mind and new desires in your heart to do good works. And God has filled you with His Holy Spirit. God has given you all that you need to perform good works. Now, I know that you say, I don't feel very well prepared. When I walk into the midst of people in the world, I feel very ill-equipped. I'm not very strong. I'm a very weak Christian. I feel every moment like I'm going to fall. But you must not say that. You are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. There never was a more fit flying machine than the bird that God created. There never was a better plow in the world than the worm that God created. There never was anything more suited to good works than the Christian that God created in Jesus Christ. And He has prepared all of the circumstances that you need to do good works. All of the circumstances around you are conspiring for you to do good works. God put each one of you in the exact place that you are to do good works that He wants you to do. You say, it's very dark around me. Well, all the better for a feeble Christian. The light can shine in a dark place, and if the light isn't very bright, He'll make it all the darker so that your light can shine where you are. Somebody will be able to see it where you are. Your trials, your sorrows, your troubles are opportunities to do good works, to face the buffeting and the trials and the problems of life and to react to them in a way that honors God and that other people look amazed and say, how can you think like that in a problem like this? How can you react like that? How can you do the things that you're doing? Well, I can do them because God gave me a Bible to guide me, and He gave me a Spirit to strengthen me, and He gave me His Son to show me the way that should be done. He gave me a Christian fellowship. He put me here. He gave me a new heart. He gave me the Holy Spirit. All of the things are prepared for me, and now I am to do these good works in the circumstances that I'm living in. Now, don't you tend to think in the exact opposite way, Christian? In unbelief? Oh, you say, I'm so unready for the trial. I was ready to do something else for God, but He brought this trouble into my life today. How can I possibly give praise to Him in the midst of circumstances like this? I never expected this problem. Enemies make it impossible for me to go on. I don't know what to do, you say. Yes, you do know what to do. God has taught you what to do. You do know the principles of Scriptures. You do know the Ten Commandments. You do know the Sermon on the Mount. You do know it. You do know how the Lord has taught you the principles of His Word and told you how to respond, whatever the circumstances you face. God has prepared in advance the works for you to do. And He's put you here to do it. And in a sense, He's saying, now then, just do it. He's in full control of the emergencies that you face every day. He's in full command of your church situation, your household situation, your community situation, your personal situation. He knows all of the things. He's brought all of those things to pass. He's put you right at the point that you are in life at this moment and said, I have created you in Christ Jesus to do good works just where you are, facing just what you are at this very moment. And that's the biblical view of what you are as a Christian. Did you ever watch on TV a documentary that shows an outstanding surgeon going into the operation room, the operation theater, to perform surgery? There are all kinds of people standing around to help him. Somebody helps him wash his hands, put on the gloves, put on the gown, put on the cap. He walks into the theater. The patient is already there. The patient is already under the anesthetic. Whatever part of the body is to be operated on is all prepared, all exposed. There are people standing around. The instruments are prepared. Everything is prepared. The man has studied for years. His experience has prepared him. And he walks into the theater, and the work is prepared for him to do, and all he has to do is do it. And that's what God says the Christian is. I have prepared everything around you. I have sent angels to prepare the instruments that you need to do it. I have put the grace within your heart to do it. I have shown you the way through the Scriptures to do it. I have taken care of every situation. Now then, do it, Christian. You are prepared. You are the best thing prepared to do good works in this generation. You are the instruments of God. You are created in Christ Jesus to do the good works. Now just do it and get up in the morning and think, what are the good things that I am to do for the Lord today? What are the commandments that I am to keep for God today? He has prepared me. I am His instrument. I am created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I am suited to do good works. And all of the circumstances around me conspire to prepare beforehand and before for me. I'm like the candidate getting off of the plane. Just step up on the platform and give the speech that I've given 100 times before. Just do what you're meant to do as a Christian and live in good works and according to the commandments of Scripture. That's the view that we're being given in Ephesians. We are God's workmanship. He is the worker. But our good works are the hallmark of God working within us. And He has prepared us to do the good works by putting us in union with Jesus Christ, His Son. That's why we get up in the morning and read the Bible for further instructions, but also to maintain that union, that close connection, that harmony, that fellowship, that communion with Jesus Christ, His Son. We are in Jesus Christ, and if we are walking with Jesus Christ, any circumstance that comes today has been prepared by God for you. I know they shock you. I know they startle you. I know they discourage you, but they should not discourage you. God has before prepared the good works for you to do, and all there is for you to do is to step forward and do it. And that is how you are to think of your life. God has gone before to prepare in advance the works that you are to do, working in you, working around you, controlling everything. Ah, you say, but you don't know how I'm tempted by the devil, by the remaining flesh within me. God's taken care of that. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it and to do good. He will. And He has. And His Word says so. And if you keep saying in your heart, that's not true, I can't possibly do what's right in this situation, you're contradicting God's Word, you're calling God a liar. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God has made a way of escape for you, so that you can bear the temptation and do what is good in the circumstance of life that you are in right now. And you are created in Christ Jesus to do these good works. And when God creates something, it is perfectly suited to the thing for which He created it. And what He has created the Christian for is good works, following His commandments, living in righteousness, following Jesus Christ, imitating Jesus Christ, living on earth as Jesus Christ lived. And He has made you for that, and you are suited to that. And all the circumstances of life are God's advanced preparation for you to do just that. Right where you are now, with exactly the problems that you are facing in life. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now then, do it. And may God give you the grace by His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we admit that we have great difficulty in escaping the human viewpoint. We have great difficulty in coming to see ourselves and our world as You define them in the Word and as You say that they are. We thank You that we are in Christ. We thank You that we are Your creation. We thank You that we are Your workmanship and that we are suited for good works. And we thank You for all the advanced preparation that we might do what is good. Father, we cast ourselves upon You and ask even now that You would help us to remember these Scriptures and to think in biblical terms. When we go to work tomorrow, when we get up and we're in problems in our household, wherever it is, encourage us with the text that we thought about this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.